Well, maybe one could be a female. There should be three males. There should be three males. Now, they may have women batting there at the home plate, but the bat is for the man. Approve of her being back catching. If they ever want to give her another position in the game, you know, back catcher. And give her a big catching mitt to catch the ball that passed by me. But I should be at the home plate with the bat. Yeah. So if we got three, we can have a congregation. And what Allah says, خَلَقَ فَسَوَّى قَدَّرَ فَهَدَى قَدَّرَ, and he excited man's potential and thereafter guided him. So the one who has his potential active in his mind, his potential has come into his conscience. Yes. His potential has come into his conscience. Now he's worthy to lead the prayer. Two people, the third one stands in the front of the two. The third one stands in the front of the two. So the leader in our community should be a person whose potential has come into his conscience, and he's excited about going forward to his destiny. He shouldn't be a deadpan. Somebody that ain't excited about nothing. No, he should be one with his potential in his conscience. And he's excited about the possibilities for me. Yes, I'm excited about the possibilities for me. And then we say, brother, we all excited about the possibilities for us. And since you seem to be more excited than the rest of us, lead us in prayer. Lead us in prayer. Lead us in the Jummah. Give us the khutbah. Because you have the spirit to talk. But those ain't got nothing on their mind, they ain't got no spirit to talk. Yeah. Praise be to Allah. Now, the third man is the imam. He's the one that should be able to hit that ball far enough out in field to get us the third, around three bases, to home. He's the one that's supposed to be able to hit that ball hard enough and far enough, skillful enough, to get us one, two, three up over third base. If we get over third base, the next is home. Now, he stands before us and he leads us because the potential is in his conscience. Now, it doesn't mean all the potential is in his conscience. If any of the potential is in his conscience, if that measure that is in his conscience is powerful enough to lead us into the future in a progressive way, he's worthy to be our leader. Because who has all the potential in his conscience? Unless it was Adam and Muhammad the prophet. Who has all of it in his conscience? We don't. But if we got enough of that potential in our conscience to motivate the community to go forward to greater and better things, then we are worthy to be the leader. We are worthy to be the leader. Now, we stand up behind that man and we take our signals from him and we obey the signals that he gives. He says, Allahu Akbar, we say Allahu Akbar behind him. When he bow, we bow behind him. Whatever he does, we follow obediently. So we are following him because he has the spirit. But actually, we don't follow him unless he faced the Kaaba. If he turned in any other direction, we won't even pray behind him. Say, Brother Imam, it's not that way. Turn like that. If he refused to turn, he's left without followers. Huh? So really, actually, we are not following him. We are following his spirit that is drawn toward the potential. And the home is the potential. And the home has come into his conscience, and he has the spirit to direct himself in that way, upon that orientation. So we follow him in prayer. Praise be to Allah. How wonderful it is. Now, before getting off here and concluding this, because we don't intend to hold you long today, Allah says he created the earth in certain periods, and then he directed himself to the heavens because they were in a state of confusion. He directed himself to the heavens because they were in a state of confusion. The word how he directed himself tells us that his purpose in directing himself to the heavens was to bring about justice and equality. So the confusion that existed was because there was no equality. And if there is no equality, there cannot be any justice. How can there be justice without equality? No justice. So then God says, Khalaqa, he created, Fasawwa. He gave creation its form, its nature and form. He ordered it as it should be. Fasawwa. Then he established the equality. So what is our equality based upon? Our equality is based upon our common nature. Allah has made it plain. We can't make it any plainer. Khalaqa fasawwa. That tells us as a consequence, as a result of what came first, the other happened. It is because of the common creation that we can have equality. It's the only way we can have equality. That's the basis for equality. Our commonality is the basis for our equality. Khalaqa fasawwa qaddara fahada. Now, the common creation is what enables us to have a society based upon equality. A society based upon equality. We're not the only ones with this understanding, this knowledge. Man has been created with certain inalienable rights. Huh? And it goes on the Constitution, the preambles of the Constitution goes on the name what these rights are. Hmm? That he has received from his Creator. Huh? That he has received from his Creator. This is the language of the Constitution of the United States, or the, what you call preambles of the Constitution of the United States. The Declaration of Independence. The Declaration of Independence, which is also the preamble to the Constitution, isn't it? Yes. All right. So this is the language of that great document, that we have inherited certain rights based upon our commonality. Is that not so? Based upon our commonality. We have inherited certain rights. And we didn't get it from each other. No man can deny it. Because we got it all from one Lord, one Creator. And it didn't say from the Lord Jesus Christ. Huh? So therefore, the Jew, he should be able to pledge allegiance to the United States? Because he's not pledging allegiance to the mafia when he pledged allegiance to the United States. He's not a pledging allegiance to the whiskey joint. He's pledging allegiance to the substance of that document we call the Constitution of these United States. That's what he's pledging allegiance to. And he pledged allegiance to the men, the representatives of the country, of the document. Huh? Because they pledged to stand by that document. So he pledges allegiance also to them. He pledges allegiance also to the institution of the nation. Because those institutions have pledged to be loyal and faithful to that document. So it all goes back to the document, doesn't it? All goes back to the document. So you find many great Americans, in fact, it's only the great Americans that raise hell. The bad Americans go to hell. The great Americans raise hell because they see something hurting that great idea, something denying that great potential of man, something hurting justice and equality. So they will stand up and raise hell and risk their lives and go to war if they have to. Those are great Americans. Praise be to Allah. We should be great Americans. In the light of what Allah has revealed in His holy book, we should be great Americans. Yes. So, on the basis of our commonality now, we have equality. We have equality. There be many who won't even have the intellectual curiosity or the mental activeness to concern themselves with such questions. The few who do must represent the many who don't. And though they are not interested, we know the precious treasures that they have in their being, in their makeup, in their creation, just like we have. No matter what their situation is or what their state is, maybe shameful. But we regard them not for what they have foolishly come into or what they have been manipulated into. We regard them for what they are in their creation. Huh? And therefore we work very, very hard, tirelessly, giving them the same circumstances for their good life and welfare that we want for our own. Huh? See, that's the kind of thinking that the righteous have. That's the thinking of the righteous. The righteous can't be weak. How can they be weak and champion the cause of the many? The righteous must be strong. They must be willing to become martyrs, to lose their blood, to lose their limb, to be tortured by the wicked, maimed and crippled. Huh? We must accept all of this if we have to. So we can't be the weak. The righteous must be the strong. And you must champion the cause of man. Not black man, not white man, man must champion the cause of man, not ritualistic man, not businessman, man. Huh? That means your concern is as much for the businessman as it is for the ritualistic man. Huh? Your concern should be as much for the politician, the political man, as it is for the entertainer who does his thing on the stage. Huh? Yes. Oh, we should, our concern is that we help the weak. If you got a bum in the street who owns nothing, not even a job, he owns nothing, and he's a bum in the street, he's a weak, isn't he? And he needs a job, and he drinks whiskey, and he's a victim of the alcohol. Now, that's a bum in the street. Now, that's a weakness. We have to admit that's a weakness. So we should help the weak. But if you got the son of an established family in that same situation who can get a job, his family say he can work anytime he wants to. All he has to do is accept the work. You got a bigger weakness. Huh? And if you got habits of alcoholism, a situations of alcoholism, or the condition of alcoholism, in people who qualify in every other respect to be our leaders, our governors, our mayors, our senators, etc., we got a bigger weakness. Huh? What I'm saying is we have been concentrating on helping the lost bum in the street. And the biggest need is to help those who have the qualifications to do something about all of our conditions. That's the greatest need. If we have something really worthy here in this religion, if we have something really powerful and attractive in this religion, we shouldn't be carrying it only to the lost bums out there in the street. Did Prophet Muhammad rise up and go look for a helpless bum in the road? First one that came on his mind was the leaders of his society. Now, he didn't make no mistake in considering them to be important. His mistake was in going to them, he was approached by a man who was blind. And the blind man wanted help from Muhammad. And Muhammad was so concerned, he was so anxious to get an audience with the big bosses to convince them of his mission, that he treated that man with disrespect. Not intentionally, unintentionally. So God called Muhammad to see his fault. And he said, what was the matter? When the blind man came to you, that you turned away in disgust. That you frowned and turned away. Because your heart was set on getting the great victory for Al-Islam, convincing the big chiefs to come over to the religion. So this man was unimportant. So God called his attention to the mistake he made. But he didn't say, those men that you were going to address, they are not as important as this blind man. You have to understand what he's saying. That you are not to go looking for just big shots. You are to go looking for those who are blind. Huh? Now, if those big shots are blind, then tell this blind man to come on with me. I'm going to take care of some more just like you. But if they're not blind, they're seeing, why are you going to them? You were sent to give sight to the blind. Perhaps this blind man you're walking past may have the potential to be overnight the big shot that you're going to see. And the big shot you're going to see, they say they already see. Huh? Yes. But we have many big shots. I met them. Many big shots in the financial world, in the political world, who have told me that yes, there's a, Imam, say, we have achieved what we have achieved, and we have this, but we also need what you're giving your followers. Now, those are the ones we should be going to. Because just one of them coming into the light will be more effective than hundreds and hundreds of the pole bombs in the street that say, yes, I see the light. I'm ready to make my shahada. He see the light, but with small eyes. And he will make his commitment, but his pledge is small too. He can't see how to make a big pledge. But if you get one of those men of knowledge and experience, and when he makes his shahada, he makes his shahada with big eyes. He sees far and wide. So he makes a big commitment. And if he carries it out, we get big results. Big results. That's what we need now. We need Muslims to concentrate on impressing intellectuals. Concentrate on impressing the achievers in the world, those who are successful in the world. Concentrate on how to look. Prophet Muhammad, he had Uthman in his immediate following. May God be pleased with Uthman, his companion. Peace be upon the Prophet. He had Uthman in his immediate following. I know he was one of the first 30 some odd followers of the Prophet. I don't know just what time he came in, but I know he was somewhere in there between maybe 1 and 15. The first and the 15th one. He was somewhere in there. Maybe between the 7th and 8th one, up to about 15. He was somewhere in there. So he was the first follower of the first followers of Prophet Muhammad. Immediate follower. And he was a rich man. He was no bum. He was a rich man. Established man. Omar. May God be pleased with him. He wasn't a rich man, but he was an established man. Omar was an established man. Abu Bakr. Well established man, the first caliph, the first ruler after Prophet Muhammad. Well established man who also had some wealth. Yes. So these became his first companions. Ali was a young boy. May God be pleased with him. He became the fourth caliph, I believe. Fourth caliph. He was a young boy and the cousin of the Prophet. So he didn't have wealth or great station at that time, but he had nobility in that he was from the great tribe of Quraysh, like the Prophet. And other of his companions, and he was also a very bright youngster. He had a very, very bright intellect. So he didn't get strong upon trash. See, we have to understand. I'm not saying to tell the bums they can't come in anymore. But I'm saying, let's stop writing our message to the bomb. Carry the bomb a sandwich and tell them it came from the message. Hey, you don't have to have no great logic to get the bomb to come to the message. Tell the bomb we have a sandwich and a glass of milk. Then we have a sandwich and a glass of milk, a hot bowl of soup. That's right. And when he comes, just say that's the compliments of the Muslim community. That's the gift of the Muslim community to you. You don't even have to preach. So he's coming back. You can't get the established people to come back for no bowl of soup and tuna fish sandwich. Now we can get them just to have a hot bowl of soup here and some tuna fish sandwiches. potato chips or something. Got all this powerful Dawa work to get the man that we can get to just have a hot bowl of camel tomatoes, tomato soup. Yes, it is pitiful. But we all made the mistake. Why? Because the machinery was set up before we knew any better. And we just came into the machinery that was already set up. And we've just been going into that spirit and doing things that, in that fashion, right? But now that we see better and understand better, we have to start alerting the community, making the community aware that we've made a lot of mistakes. And we must now appreciate our better mind and give support to our better mind. And let them stand before us. Do you think Prophet Muhammad was worthy to stand before somebody before he got more up here? What made him worthy to stand before others? What he got up here. He earned it because of his genuine heart and intellectual curiosity was there, and God fed it and gave it to him in full. And made him worthy to stand before all the leaders and lead all the people of the world. But it was because he had something up here. He was given something up here. We don't want nobody to get up here and lead us. They ain't got no more sense than the dumbest one in the crowd. That's a shame. That makes us look like we're stupid. And we're not going to have the best of our minds coming forward until we get this prejudice out of us against those who have better minds. You got to make them feel comfortable here. The leaders are not at all. We know the leaders can't go anywhere without followers. But the followers can't go anywhere either if they don't have leaders. So we need each other. So we should give our better minds our support. And we should see dignity in our own strength. Our strength is our support. So if we got one great mind, one great intellectual, and he's leading three, just common people, they ain't got no education, no nothing above common sense, and they only got game to use that half the time. Then we ain't got no support. We ain't got no support. You don't feel strong as a mass when you got three people with you. Just three of you. But you let 3,000 together. And they feel their strength. Huh? They feel their strength. And they got strength. Because 3,000 can do a lot. And they don't have to have nothing but ordinary common sense. Don't have to be educated. And they can do a lot if they're following one with some sense. One that knows where to lead them. Okay, so they're powerful now. 3,000 represents the power. You all who are in the common class or in the common membership, what you should be doing more than anything is working hard to give that bowl of camel tomato soup to that common poor person to make him like Muslim, to make her like Muslim, and attract them to you so you will have more numbers and more power as a man. That's what you should be doing. Yes. Because you work every day, and when you get off, you're so sleepy, you can hardly watch TV. TV reading to you. You don't have to read it. Now, we tell you to read the Sirah of the Prophet and read the Quran and the Sirah. You ain't going to read nothing. You can hardly stay awake to watch the news or the most exciting thing that happened this week on television. They'll ask you to do nothing but just stay there. Just hang there. You don't have to pick nothing up and read. You don't have to train your eyes, discipline your eyes or nothing, you know. And you hardly can do that for 5 minutes. So we can't expect you to come up with a great dawah and go out to do no great dawah. Your great dawah is to be kind and considerate of your neighbor who's not a Muslim. And number one, the believer. But also your neighbor who's not a Muslim. And the people in your situation. Show them by your life and your sensitivity, your human sensitivity, show them that you are a person that they can feel good around. And when they need and you can give them a little help, give them a little help. The dignity of the poor is also charity. Yes. You ain't got nothing but our people are by tradition, people of charity. In the South, they didn't have nothing before they came up north to the factories. They didn't have nothing. But they would share a piece of bread. Share some flour. Take in a neighbor. Oh, honey, you stay here tonight. Huh? Yes. So by tradition, our people are people of charity. Kind hearts. We should be practicing that now as Muslims. Practice that now as Muslims. Your leaders can't do that. So I take everybody to come up to me home for soup. Pretty soon I won't have no home and you won't have no leader. Because we are more the target of Satan than you. So we mean more to the community. So he knocks down the chiefs, huh? He wants to put out the chiefs, knock out the chiefs. So the community won't have any good leaders. So if I start going out there bringing them to my company and everything, the poor bums out there in the street, pretty soon they say this man went crazy and a dope fiend cut his throat. And it'll be all forgotten. That'll be the end of the story. Yeah, right. So I can't do that, but you can. Before I became a leader, that's what I did. I had as my associate the people who were down on the bottom. And I would give them the best of myself. Some of them are followers. Some of them are right in this community now that I associated with, that I gave the best of myself to. And they became Muslims, some of them. Yes. And I'm sure you have associates that you have influenced because of your good life. And they have become Muslims. In fact, that's how the religion progressed or spread in the early years of its life. In the time of the Prophet, especially after the time of the Prophet, it was because of the kindness, the human excellence of the Muslim people. It rubbed off on the non-Muslim. And the non-Muslim was so impressed that they became Muslims. They became Muslims. And that's happened today. I've read two stories here recently where Muslims in certain parts of the world, outside the United States, impress their non-Muslim families or neighbors so much because of their human sympathies and sensitivities and sympathies. They were impressed so much by the Muslim life that they asked the Muslim, how can I become a Muslim? And became Muslim. We're going to have to bring the best of ourselves forward. In the studious people of our community, we have to bring the best forward. In the spirited masses of our people, we have to bring the best forward. And the studious masses who are not interested or don't have the time, the burden, their daily burden is too much, circumstances haven't favored them to put them in a situation to use their intellect more than their muscles, they should understand that the best allegiance is to have a strong bond, a loyal bond, a loyal commitment of the followers to their best mind. Yes. Let us commit ourselves to support our best mind. That's what makes people strong. That's what have made people strong down through the history. Those of intelligence in the masses, but not people of vision like the few, because there's always a few. You know, when Allah revealed the Quran about Muhammad, some of those narrow-minded people said, how come, if the God wanted us to have it, how come he didn't give it to all of us? He's God, he has the power. How come he just gave you that book? How come he couldn't give all of us a book? But that's not the way God works. He didn't create you like that. He created you khalaqa fasawwa. Right? Okay. Your equality is based upon your common nature, your common creation. That's what your equality is based upon. But some people will be motivated to pursue greater things. Those are the leaders. Those make leaders. Whether it's at the factory, or in the school, or the messenger, or the government, it is those who have been excited mentally, motivated intellectually, huh? That become the leaders. Yes. And that happens to the few, not the many. That does not happen to the many. That happens to the few. Am I correct or not? That happens to the few. Because the society would be in a great mess if we had everybody excited about leading. I'm glad I don't see so many brothers coming up to me now and meeting them in the street like I used to, telling me they want to be an imam. You know, at one time, all of us thought we had to be an imam. You become a Muslim, you got to be an imam. And a brother called me, really admire you, brother imam. I'm going to do it too one of these days. I'm working on it. And I said, all these brothers telling me they're going to do what I'm doing one of these days. Now, who's going to make some money to take care of me? I need some charity. I'm a full-time imam. Who's going to make some money to take care of me? So, who's going to pay the light bill? Help the poor and the needy. See, the man who preaches full-time, he is really one of the poor and needy. He may have the spirit and the virtues and the intellect, but if he's doing that full time, he's one of the poor and the needy in the world. In the world, he's one of the poor and the needy. If he's not one of the poor and the needy, then you shouldn't be giving him any charity. That's right. Well, how come we giving you a check? Because I'm one of the poor and the needy. But what about Brother Sidney Sharif? He's one of the poor and the needy too. We have to watch our spending clothes, or we'll be out of doors, or the phone will be cut off. You have to understand that. But once one of us get about $50,000 in the bank, you know, and we're still managing everything, and at the end of the year, we didn't touch $50,000, it stayed right there, you ain't supposed to give us nothing. We're supposed to preach free. Supposed to preach for nothing. You give us something because we can't pay our bills. But once we got enough to pay all our bills, you shouldn't give us nothing. Give us nothing, not money. Give us every other kind of support, but not money. We got money. Why should you give us more money? Once we get money to take care of our needs, you shouldn't be giving us money over our needs. That's right. Now, don't you determine my needs for me now. Some of you all don't even want a good toothbrush. It wouldn't be fair for you to determine my needs. I need a counsel. Of qualified people. Or the board. The board. The board, yes, the board. They are representatives, right? The board should be able to curb our need, curb our spending. Yes. The board should look at my spending. If they see it getting out of line, they should curb it. But I don't think they'll start doing that until I get $75,000 a year. Do you know $75,000 a year ain't a penny over what I need right now? That's right. If I had $75,000 a year, I could be a much more effective leader. I had about $75,000 a year. And I don't think you can get anybody like these people who lead in these big congregations or big national organizations. You can't get them for no $50,000 and $60,000. You can't. No. They can't even talk to you if that's what all you're going to offer them. So when you got a family responsibility, that ain't nothing. That's poor man's earnings. The more your needs are, the more your obligations are that involve finances, then the more you're justified in receiving. Let's see, our time is really flying here. We'll be through in a few minutes now. Yes, so it is that aggressiveness on our part that will distinguish us. And that aggressiveness comes on all levels of society. If you work on a common job, common labor, the labor that will progress on that common labor's job is the one that has that aggressiveness. The one that is motivated and he feels his potential. Maybe feel nothing but his physical stamina as his potential. He wants to live out that energy he has there. So he will become more active, more aggressive. He'll be moving about better and working with more energy. He impresses his boss.